On FM, on DAB, and up to date on social media. We are Radio Newark.
Hey, 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 Kevin Guthrie here, talking all things mental health. Firstly, thank you so much for being there and listening to this, another one of our podcasts talking about mental health and well-being. We have a guest in the studio today. We have Joe Rowe with us. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you, and thank you for the invite.
Thank you for being here. It's a pleasure. Right, as always, we're going to start with a listener question. Somebody inquired the other day what NLP was. You know, there's many, many different types of therapies and interventions, and a lot of them have acronyms. So I'm going to answer this really briefly before I pass across to Joe. So NLP stands for... I can't remember what it means. I know the last word is programming. Linguistic. Neuro. Is it neuro?
Correct.
Neuro-linguistic programming. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit more about that, Joe.
Okay, so first of all, you can probably understand why people shorten it to NLP. It is pretty much a big mouthful.
Yeah.
So neuro-linguistic programming, probably the best way of describing it is to maybe give you an example of a tool or technique.
Yep.
So one tool or technique that's really useful is called anchoring.
Right.
So this is where you look at where you are, a state that you're in now,
yep,
and where you want to be.
Yep.
So, for example, if somebody is anxious,
yep,
they may want to be relaxed, calm, peaceful, whatever it is to them. And
that must be a common one.
Yes, it is a common one. So I work with many clients with different mental health wellness. And so anxiety, for example, what we get them to do is think about a time when they felt,
yeah,
how they want to feel instead. So if somebody wants to feel relaxed or peaceful, they'll start to think about a time when they felt like that in the past.
Yeah.
So it could be on the beach.
Yeah.
It could be in a spa.
Yeah.
Be in your back garden. Everybody's different where that place is.
Yeah.
It could be a millisecond. It could be a whole day.
Yeah.
And what we do is we use the five senses. So we bring that to life using what you can see, what you can hear, what you can feel, what you can taste and smell.
Yeah.
But we have fun with it. So we really enhance it and,
yeah,
bring it to life. So you can change the colours. You can, I don't know, you're in a spa, you can make it nice and fluffy and comfortable.
Yeah.
And when it gets to its most intense point, we then anchor that. So there's many ways you can anchor it. So, for example, you can squeeze your finger and thumb together.
Yeah.
And that then tells the brain that you're in a relaxed, calm, peaceful, yeah, state. And then what we do is future pace that together. So we imagine a time when you need that. So you're feeling anxious. And then there's a time where you want to feel,
yeah,
this new way of being. Then you can tap into that and you've got it bottled up.
On tap, so to speak.
On tap.
So the thumb and finger part, mm-hmm, that's the trigger to take you to that place.
Yep. So you're building new neural pathways.
Yeah.
And what happens is your brain, it's telling your brain, that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
So then it becomes, to start off with, have a bit of fun with it, play around with it. You can practice it while you're sat watching TV.
Yeah.
And once you've got it to, it almost becomes like riding a bike.
Yeah.
So once you've got it to a point, you might have to remember quite a bit of the day or place that you was at. Eventually, it may be just a song.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about unplanned anchors, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
So you might smell, yeah, something and it reminds you of a time when you've,
yeah,
been there. So it becomes just part of that. That's the programming part. It becomes a new way of being, feeling,
yeah,
whenever you need it or want that.
Yeah. I was just thinking, you mentioned then unplanned anchors.
Mm-hmm.
And as you were talking, I was trying to think of one. So an example might be, so many, many years ago, I used to smoke. And if I had a meal, I would immediately want a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be an example of an unplanned anchor.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really want a cigarette, but there would be a neuropathway that would connect those.
Mm-hmm.
A neuropathway, and I'm not a neuroscience by any means, is that the same as a synaptic connection?
So for me, it's about building new. So our brain's plasticity.
Yeah.
It has the ability to change. So we're almost changing in NLP terms. We're changing a resourceful state.
Yeah.
So we're going from an unresourceful place or a negative place to a more resourceful place.
Right.
That works for that person.
Yeah.
So we're actually creating a new way of our brain to be able to, just trying to think of the word, our brain to be programmed in that way.
Yeah.
So, but it's planned. So we're almost, what we're doing is planning it to be that way.
Yeah. Which of course we can.
Yeah.
In the same way that we can, it can develop its own plan not to be that way, mm-hmm. to be more anxious, to be more stressed, to all of those things. I also say with stress and anxiety that when I think about the brain and the mind, I always think that it's slightly tilted mm-hmm. towards the more anxious and the more stressed in terms of keeping us safe and alive.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the brain's primary function is to keep us alive, to keep us safe. So it's always scanning, it's always doing, it's always looking for things that are going to go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I always find that when I'm working with people one-to-one that it almost feels like it's tilted too far and we're just trying to bring it back mm-hmm. to a nice balance, to get that balance between the rational mind and the irrational mind.
Mm-hmm.
But it literally is slightly tilted towards that way, in just in terms of safety. So it feels like it's going to fall further that way easier than it is to be happy and positive and feel calm and excited about life.
Yeah. So hit the nail on the head there. So there's techniques, for example, where you've got an inner gauge. So
yeah.
You can start to raise your conscious awareness of where that is.
Yeah.
So you have a side in NLP world that's called overdone.
Yeah.
It's an overdone strength.
Yeah.
So there's also the other side that serves you well. So we want our brain to focus on that side that's serving us really well.
Yeah.
So that we notice more of the good stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a part in our brain that we filters it through.
Yeah.
And we can, again, train our brain to notice the good stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I use social media and Facebook.
Yeah.
My brain bypasses all the rubbish and picks up all the good stuff that's happening on there. The motivational speakers.
Yeah.
The posts that are really
helpful.
Helpful.
Yeah.
And all the other stuff, my brain's just putting that to one side.
Yeah.
So we can almost build up an inner gauge within ourselves. So mine actually looks like a rainbow. It's a bit random and fluffy. But somebody else's gauge may be, it could be a temperature gauge.
Yeah.
So they start to think, oh, it's getting a bit hot and my thoughts are going that way. So what can I do to flip my switch?
Yeah.
To move it to a more, as we say, a resourceful place, a resourceful way of thinking, a positive mindset, whatever you want to call that.
Yeah, absolutely. What was I thinking then when you were talking? It's really bad that I think when you're talking. That is not a good habit. but we do that.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I am interviewing you, so I'm trying to think of the next question. And that was defensive as well.
Analysing yourself.
Analysing myself as I'm talking. That's quite clever.
I mean, we was talking about anchors, and a good example of an anchor is, if you think of a song, for example, it takes you back to that
place. Of course, And a smell.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You know, you can smell a perfume that reminds you of a person or just any smell. You know, these people resonate with all sorts, from polish right through to chocolate.
I once had how old was I? 16, 17, I had an experience where I put a top on, a T-shirt, that had been drying at home. And I went to a disco, because back then we had discos and we danced at discos. And have you ever done that thing where you've not dried something properly, or it's dried too slowly and it's taken on like a fusty smell?
Mm-hmm.
Just has this fusty smell, but you don't smell it until the fabric gets warm, and then the smell comes out. So I'm dancing away on this dance floor and I start to smell the smell. And I realised within about 15 minutes that it was me, and it was the top I had on that smelled a little bit fusty. It's almost like a damp smell. And So I was 16 then. So almost 30 odd years ago, I still have a fear now of wearing something that smells fusty. So when I put something on, I smell it kind of intensely. When I'm drying clothes, I dry them intensely so that doesn't happen. But it's like this inbuilt fear of, and if I smell it, I go, get them back in the washing machine, quick. Mm-hmm. So we create these pathways all the time, don't we? Quite naturally. But what you're talking about there is creating them to allow our worlds to be much healthier and much, much happier as well.
Yeah. I mean, an amazing fact is that our brain takes on like 11 million different pieces of information per second.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah.
And actually, our brains can only take on around 7, give or take, pieces of information. Our bodies are brilliant. They're doing a lot for us already.
Yeah.
You know, it's getting a bit cooler in here.
Yeah.
So my goose pimples,
whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, telling you. They're regulating, the body's regulating themselves. But what I'm noticing and taking note of is my experience of this situation now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So looking at yourself and your smiley face and the information I'm taking in. So we all have perceptions of our own reality, what's taking place.
But also those perceptions can be coloured or flavoured by our past experience as well. So again, if I'm working with a client, sometimes it can take them right in my office of the day, and to say that this person was stony-faced was an understatement. This person was very, very stony-faced. By the time they'd left, they weren't. They were fine. But I just sense this defence as this person walked in, and I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting. By the time the person had gone, it was fine. We were on talking terms and it had all calmed down. But I did get it. I kind of understood why that person was in that place. There was a long story behind it, but I got it. But for that person, took them a little while for all of their defences to drop and to be able to look at me and go, oh, he's not going to hurt me. He's not going to harm me. He gets me. And it's that kind of thing. And again, it's like looking somebody in the eye, keeping the tone soft, and all of a sudden, all of the defences that our mind will naturally put in place all drop eventually. Mm-hmm. Not always, but we hope they will, as long as we're putting the right the right elements in place. We talked about NLP then. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the work that you do now.
So the work that I do with my clients? Okay. So I offer, I have one-to-one clients and also workshops as well.
Yeah.
So my main focus is around mental wellness.
Yeah.
The most people who come to me is around mental health, wellness.
Yeah.
Part of maintaining that. Recovery,
yeah.
Prevention. So it can be anything from somebody coming through my door who has anxiety or depression. And I'm not a big fan of labels. I coach the person rather than their label, their mental health label.
Yeah.
Even though I know they can be useful for people to understand their diagnosis, to me it's about understanding that person and what's going off for them to allow them to then find the answers for themselves to make that difference within their life.
Yeah. Okay. We talked then about mental wellness. What do you think prevents people from recognizing their own mental wellness?
So I have, if I maybe use myself as an example, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
It's noticing, it's actually for me, it was carrying on regardless. I didn't stop. So I've got a label of bipolar.
Yeah.
And I experienced psychosis as part of that.
Yeah.
And I carried on regardless.
Yeah.
So I had lots of things going off in my life, and an unhealthy work environment where there was potential redundancies. My dad was diagnosed with cancer, so there was that side. And I was carrying on regardless. I was drinking late at night. I was then working hard all day, not getting a break, doing all the things I shouldn't be doing, eating the wrong things, not sleeping, not exercising.
Yeah.
and almost threw myself into my work.
Yeah.
And I think for me it was that I didn't recognise it, and now I do. That's the difference that makes a difference.
It's the education and the recognition of. So for you, again, to continue to use you as an example, what do you think it was at that point that prevented you from seeing your own mental wellness?
Prevented me from seeing.
So to be able to look at the habits of drinking late at night, working yourself crazily, mm-hmm. and seeing that that wasn't healthy for you.
Yeah. I think... The first time I had my episode was in 2013. I then had another episode in 2015. So it's almost like I didn't learn, if that makes sense.
The lesson came back.
The lesson came back to me.
Yeah.
So I then got into, I had from 2013, I had a recovery, but then I threw myself back into work, was getting stressed, and stress is a big trigger for me.
Yeah.
And... an early warning signs is losing sleep, because I'm overthinking.
Yeah.
And I'm losing sleep, and so I had that lesson again.
Yeah.
And then it took coaching and NLP, as well as other disciplines, because I take disciplines, the bits that I like, I suppose, from the counselling was really useful, mindfulness, CBT.
Yeah.
I take all the bits that I like from it. But the coaching and NLP for me was a game changer.
Yeah.
And I'm a bit of a strong advocate for it, really, for that it is an option if you choose to explore.
Yeah.
It may be right for you.
Yeah.
It may be something else that's right for you.
Yeah.
And that is the game changer.
Yeah.
For me, because that then allowed me to recognize. It allowed me to take a step back and put things into perspective, recognise what was happening and what I could do differently.
Yeah. When you think about the beginning of that path there, mm-hmm. so when you first experienced NLP, just for a second, remember who it was that introduced you to it,
mm-hmm.
the person. Now tell me, do you think it was the model... or the person, what allowed you to connect at that point?
Both.
Right, okay.
Both really, really important. So I was already going through coaching. The person who did the coaching in NLP, it was really important to have that trust, especially because I was still unwell as part of my recovery. It took a year to recover.
Yeah.
It was a long process. So trust was a huge part of that process, having a rapport, getting on with the person, to me that was the key part first, and then having an understanding of it and going with what was right for me, because again everybody's different, so it's a flexible approach. It's about it being a personal journey for each person.
Yeah completely. And there's we talked about disciplines then. There's so many different disciplines. There's so many different ways out there of allowing yourself to be in a better place, like CBT and psychotherapy and NLP and spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
The list is endless, and I would encourage people to explore and not be too stuck. And also, because I have a lot of people that there's people around me in my world that would go, oh yeah, I tried counselling, it was rubbish and it didn't do anything for me. Don't give up, because that could have been your experience with that therapist. It just didn't gel, it didn't connect.
Mm-hmm.
Go back in and try it again with somebody else and see, or try a different discipline, but don't dismiss too quickly, because like you said, the relationship with that person is paramount in terms of that journey.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it's a two-way connection.
Yeah.
That you are the right fit for that person as well.
Yeah.
It's got to be a right fit for each other,
yeah.
so that you're comfortable. I love my therapy room's like a living room without a TV.
Yeah.
I love having that cuppa and having a chat and ensuring that people feel comfortable and relaxed as part of the process. some people want to come and have a little bit of fun. So yeah. we have fun as part of that process as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a pleasure to be a part of that.
To be a part of their journey.
100%.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful to watch it unfold as well.
Yeah.
To see where people take it for themselves.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
Well, you're offering them an environment where they can flourish and where they can grow.
Yeah.
But you're kind of putting that out there and saying, I have an environment here that may assist you into a better place. And also your own experiences will be paramount in that as well. I'm convinced that when I'm in my therapy room, how much, I'd say 75% of what I deliver is me and my experience. 25% is my education and the theory behind. But it's only 25%. Kind of backs it up, it shores it up, it gives it a secure foundation, my supervision, all the rest of it. But goodness, 75% is me and my experience.
Yeah, I agree. And I was just thinking as you was talking about environments as well.
You do it as well.
I do. I try not to. It does happen. I'm not a squeaky clean.
None of us are.
No, certainly no such thing. I mean, I love to be in nature, and I think that's brilliant for mental health. So I've got three dogs, and I love walking my dogs. Mm-hmm. And some of my clients may like that. So, you know, it's an option to go walking together and do some coaching and NLP while we're walking and talking.
Yeah.
Because it just frees the mind up a little bit more.
Yeah.
And being in an environment that other people feel comfortable in as well.
Yeah. No, it's really powerful. I've seen more and more counsellors doing walking and talking counselling. Mm. It's really powerful. I have a theory on, it's not a theory really, on being outside. It's a well-known fact that we are part animal, and I'm not entirely convinced that we belong in the very sophisticated posh boxes that we've developed for ourselves, and that we belong outside. We belong outside and in nature, doing whatever that is. I went away recently and I was in kind of middle France. And I came away from it, and it was lovely. It was really quiet. It was dead relaxing. But there was something missing. And it was the other day, and I went, oh, there was no sea. I didn't see the sea. Mm. And I don't care how crashing it is, how cold it is, how wet it is. I just love the sea. And for those 5 days, I was in middle France, and I didn't see the sea. Saw water, saw beautiful lakes and rivers and all the rest of it, but I didn't see the sea. And it's left a little bit of a gap where I was like, oh, well, that's a shame. Need to go back. But yeah, I'm convinced that as humans, we just need to be outside, and we are not meant to live in these little central heated boxes that we live in. So it's not great. You talked about your own experience earlier, and we talked a little bit about labels as well. And I feel like I've talked about labels a lot. Why do I talk about labels a lot? I think because it's important to me, and I don't want people to get too stuck on labels. What's your view on labels?
So I do have a bit of a saying that labels belong on jars, not people.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I think it can be helpful for people to understand the diagnosis.
Yeah.
But for me, it's when somebody comes to see me, I'm coaching them as a person, as an individual, and the labels are at the back door. If people wish to talk about that, then again, it's working with that individual, because it may be important to them. It's part of their values, it's part of their belief system. So from a you know, I encourage people to work with their medical professionals, because I'm not a medical professional.
No.
But for me, it's that very much a person-centered approach that I'm coaching you as a person.
Yeah.
And understanding you as a person, and you understanding yourself more to try to move forward. So actually, when people do have labels, I don't even reinforce it in any way.
No.
I can't, you know, and it doesn't become part of the language then as part of the sessions.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. I have a lot of people step forward and they'll give me their list of diagnosis and I'll say, with respect, I'm going to take the labels and I'm just going to sit them at the side of you. I don't want to disrespect them, so we'll keep them right there. But I for me, the value is in working with you as a human, mm-hmm. as a human being having a human experience. Mm-hmm. If we are then to work through this filter of labels, it changes the dynamic massively. Somebody emailed me the other week with a list of diagnosis, and I always go back with this really respectful email and say, more than happy to work with you, but this is the way I work. And I find that as I've got braver in saying that, interestingly, less and less people step forward if they've got labels, because I think they look at me and go, yeah, he's going to be useless because he's, it's not. But again, the fit isn't right. The fit isn't right, because if they want somebody to work through those labels, then it's not me, because it's not going to happen. We are humans. Similarly, I respect that for some people, they need a diagnosis. They need to know why. They need to know what it is. I could say I'm a little bit autistic, and in some ways, I think I might be a little bit autistic, but do I need to be diagnosed with that? Will it help? Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I don't think it'll help me in the slightest. I know what I know. I know what I feel, yeah. and that's fine. So yeah. I'm not going to get a diagnosis because I don't need one.
No. And it's like my label of bipolar. What is that? When somebody told me, I went into a doctor's once and he says, you've got manic depression, and that's an old term I'd never even come across.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, I don't feel depressed. I don't get depressed.
Yeah.
To me, it's more a euphoric side. And if I labelled it, I'd be saying it was quite a spiritual experience for me.
Yeah.
And it does allow society to probably make sense of it as well.
Yeah.
So it's fitting people into boxes, I suppose.
Yeah.
Even when you look at people with bipolar, everybody is on such a unique, extreme, different journey,
yeah.
just like anybody's in life, regardless of your label. Somebody could have the label of bipolar and actually be depressed, if you want to label it again, with depression,
yeah.
for 7-8 years and never left the house. I'm like, great, let's work together. And I coach the person again.
Yeah.
So again, it's about what do you want to do for a living?
Yeah.
What is it you want out of life? What is your purpose? What do you want to be doing?
Yeah.
How can you make that difference for yourself?
Yeah.
So I'm removing that depression, that bipolar, in looking at that person as an individual.
Yeah.
It is human to human.
Yeah.
I think
sometimes that question can be, I've asked people that question in the past, what do you want to do, what are your goals, what are your aspirations, and some people cannot answer that. Mm-hmm. They literally go, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. And I go, okay, so maybe the question is too big and we just scale it back a little bit just to make it smaller, more understandable, more accessible.
Yeah.
Because again, that can panic them in terms of, well, I don't know. And should I know? Should I know what the answer is? I'm like, not necessarily.
Yeah.
You don't know, that's fine.
And some people come in and they know their goal and they're very much like, this is it and I want to achieve this by then. And other people come in and they're like, I don't know, I'm just a bit lost in life.
Yeah.
And they're both brilliant to work with.
I love that one. I love the lost in life clients. I almost, it's such a powerful moment when somebody walks in and says, I'm lost, or a little bit lost, it's a really powerful moment because I'm like, that's amazing because you're here and you recognize you're lost. Mm-hmm. Now let's find your path. Let's work out what's going and what's going off and look at your history. It's just, I almost get a buzz of that particular type of client.
Same. I'm just buzzing talking about it, to be honest with you.
It's almost like I was trying to work out why, and maybe it's because I don't know where the journey's going to go.
Mm.
Somebody walks in and says they're depressed or they're anxious, you can see that straight away. If somebody says they're lost, you're like, whoa, where's this going to go to?
Mm.
What's going to unfold here? And just to clarify, all clients are very, very valuable. There's just something very exciting about the unknown of the client that's lost. Interestingly as well with lost is some people wouldn't think of stepping into a setting where they could have an intervention, whether it be NLP or psychotherapy, they wouldn't think of stepping into that arena and going, can we do some work together? But for me, it's really valuable. Again, just to sit in a safe space with somebody that is not going to judge you, completely confidential, and let it all spill and work it out. Mm-hmm. Begin to work out what elements you're not quite hitting or why your path's disappeared. It's usually a good reason for it.
Same page. We're singing from the same hymn sheet. Definitely.
See, the same hymn sheet, but...
in a different way.
Yeah, quite a different way of working. And that goes back to something I said earlier. Seek out your own way of developing your own growth and finding your own path or peace or happiness or grace. I read something last week that used the word grace and I was like, I really like that word. The grace to be able to do something. I like words peace and grace at the minute, my two favourite words. We are almost at the end of our recording. Tell me what you would like to leave the listener with from your side.
That, I suppose I want to inspire other people.
Yeah.
About my own experience, my own journey, that there is help and support out there.
Yeah.
And there's many different ways that you can access that.
Yeah.
And it can be counselling, it can be mindfulness, CBT, coaching, NLP.
Yeah.
The list is endless when you start looking there.
Yeah.
And it's making a decision that's right for you. But more than anything, it's just giving you that hope that I know it sounds a bit cheesy because it's bandied about a lot, but it's okay to not be okay.
Yeah.
And to then recognise it and go, right, okay. What can I do?
No. Yeah.
Because people are there to help you, but you've almost got to help yourself, if that makes sense.
Yeah. There has to be an inner spark for you want to be in a different place than you are.
Yeah.
Like an inner desire.
Yeah. Like it's being ready to
yeah.
That ready of wanting to change the way your life is now, because I want to give that hope that it doesn't have to be like that.
Yeah.
Life doesn't have to be how it is now. And it can be a joyful place to be.
Yeah.
When you're ready and when you choose to.
Yeah.
And there's lots of, you can even use the internet. There's lots of really useful sources of information on there that can
masses.
Be helpful.
Yeah.
Whatever you decide is going to be right for you as an individual.
Yeah. It really saddens me when I see people in sad places, I see people in anxious places, I see people that when I look in, and these are not necessarily people that I know, but I you can look in on somebody's world just by sitting in a coffee shop and go, that doesn't look very happy or that doesn't look very peaceful. And I honestly want to walk up to them and say, it doesn't need to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
What was that the other week? I have a massive thing against energy drinks. I do not like energy drinks at all. I think they should be banned and I think they should be removed from the shelves because I think they're dangerous and I think they feed us in a really unhealthy way. And I was in Lidl and yes, I shop in Lidl. But there are other supermarkets available. And somebody's picked up a tray of energy drinks, a full tray, this youngish person, early 20s, I would say. And honestly, I was so close to walking up and saying, please don't do that. It's really unhealthy for you. Mm-hmm. Of course, I didn't, because it's nothing to do with me, what they buy. But it really saddened me. And I was like, does that give you a buzz? Is that how you lead your life? And I know we're only talking energy drinks here and not heroin, but it's still really, really unhealthy. Mm-hmm. And I quite often want to step in on people's lives and go, don't do that. It doesn't need to be like that, but I don't.
No. To be fair, I do see it as anxiety in a can. I got into the habit of, and it's about developing positive habits, but I was in the habit when I was becoming unwell without even realising it. I would have Red Bull in the morning, or there are other makes available, and then I would... take calms at night.
Yeah.
So I was totally feeding my body.
Flip-flopping.
Totally.
Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it?
And I understand when you're in a place, you may not always recognise it, or it can take a big step to reach out to people.
Yeah.
A huge step. And I think that's the thing, is even just recognising it is the first step.
Yeah.
Because then that allows you to then...
Awareness. Say,
yep. Definitely. Awareness is everything.
Awareness is key to moving forward. And similarly for, so we talked about caffeine there, caffeine in coffee and sugar as well. I recognise if I eat a bag of sweets, which I don't do very often now, my mood takes a turn. It will lift, I'll get a bit buzzy, but then it will drop. And I do the same with coffee. I don't drink too much coffee because it has a really profound effect on me. So that's my journey. And I miss coffee sometimes. So yeah, just be careful what you're consuming out there. It is really important. I'll talk to clients about alcohol as well and say, you know, if you've been out on a Saturday night and been on a bit of a bender, then that's fine. It's your choice. And that's great. And if you've had a great time, then I love it. But then don't be upset at the crash that happens on Monday or Tuesday when your mood's all over the place, because there will be a crash. Again, just be aware of it and ride it out and you'll get past it. So awareness.
Yeah. And life's all about balance as well.
Yeah.
And just being aware of that balance, so you know that there will potentially be a crash after.
Yeah.
So it's about balance. You know, that's something to me that's really, really important as an individual.
Yeah.
I'm balanced and grounded. Because we want to have fun in life a little as well.
Of course.
But also it's that everything in moderation.
And yeah. Yeah.
Back to that, being sensible.
Yeah. Yeah. And balance is one of my biggest words, is keeping things in balance. I love coffee and cake, maybe at a weekend, but it's not something I could do every day because my body wouldn't sustain it in terms of the size or the caffeine.
Exactly.
Jo, thank you so much being here. That's been a really, really interesting conversation. Just tell me the name of your business.
You can find me on Facebook at Jo Rowe Mental Wellness Coach.
Okay.
So it's Jo Rowe Coaching.
Yeah.
So I do life coaching as well. But yeah, you can find me on Facebook.
Brilliant.
And also on Instagram. I'm the bipolar coach on there. So.
Okay. Excellent. Just in case people want to find you. As always, remember these podcasts are available on radionewark.co.uk. We have iOS and Android apps. Contact info is you can call us on Radio Newark 01636 678 033, or you can email. Email is studio@radionewark.co.uk. The podcasts will be available on Guthrie Therapy's Facebook page. You can access them via there. On Guthrie Therapy's Facebook page, it is full of nice quotes, helpful videos, and of course these podcasts. So tap into there if you want some more resources. Remember, these podcasts are for you. If we're not covering subjects that you want us to cover, then please tap into us, drop us an email or a message, and tell us what you want covering. As long as it comes under the banner of mental health, then we will cover it for you. Okay, these are for you. Please pass on and share if you think they're going to be helpful to somebody else. As always, please, please look after yourself. Take very good care of yourself. And remember that you are worth it. Take care. Bye-bye.